Today's epistle reading, the text of it is in your missal, not in the purple book. Can everyone hear me okay? So, why is this special passage, why was it selected for today? It's because today is the annual commemoration of St. Barbara, the great martyr St. Barbara. So the epistle reading that's selected for her because she's such a great saint overrides the one particular for today. And it's also the same passage that's selected for several other women saints. So how is it relevant to women saints? It says in there, quote, "In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." You are all sons of God through faith. Remember, Paul is addressing the Christians in Galatia, in a city there. He says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus." So this pertains to St. Barbara by reminding us that women, too, can be sons of God in this sort of theological sense, and thus receive in Christ the inheritance that was promised to Abraham and his offspring, his seed. Also, this passage underscores the honor and dignity of womanhood, since it says, "God sent forth his son born of a woman." When Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, he didn't just, you know, pop down from the sky or appear. I mean, he was born of a woman, the Virgin Mary. Anyway, so now the context of Paul's argument, the context of this passage is part of Paul's argument to the Galatians. Again, that subject that came up a lot during that time. Do you have to be Jewish to be a Christian? You know, you have to first be Jewish to be a Christian. You have to keep the law. So he's saying that you Gentile Christians who have believed in Christ, and that would include us, okay, but specifically now those in Galatia, have received what God promised to Abraham. In Christ, you are sons and heirs of God. You don't need to go back and become Jewish first in order to receive the promises. That's the syllogism. That's the thought, okay? So three things. The first is, what does it mean to be baptized into Christ? This means to not just become a member, but to put him on entirely and take on his form. It's quite, you know, he says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have become members of his church. He didn't say that. He says, I mean, you do, we do, members of his body. But he says, you have put on Christ. So it's actually quite profound, the significance of what that is. So now, being baptized into Christ, is that the same as being baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity? Because that's the actual practice of the church, and that's actually what the Lord said. He said, as he was leaving, he said, baptizing all, you know, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So is there some contradiction here? And in other places you hear, you know, in Acts, that you're baptized into Christ, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, what? How does that relate to what we actually do in church? Is there some other kind of baptism? And the answer is no. So both mean, but whether baptized into Christ, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, both mean to be baptized in the manner that the Lord Jesus taught, which was in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So let's not confuse references to baptism with the ritual, you know, with the words that are part of the ritual. The ritual of the baptism is baptized in the name of the Father and the, you know, three immersions. So both mean to be baptized in the Holy Trinity, and how to help understand that, if we're going to say baptized into Christ, well, Christ is the anointed one. The Father is the one who anoints him, and the Holy Spirit is the chrism by which he is anointed. So even there, I mean, it's packaged in. You just need to unpack it. But anyway, the practice of the church is certainly consistent with the gospel, and the gospel is not in any way contradictory to what was going on, you know, in the book of Acts and in the epistles. The second point is, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Taken out of context, this verse can be twisted to rationalize all kinds of things, but these verses are not about a social or political reality, but a spiritual reality. So it's not addressing social issues or political issues. It is addressing the spiritual issue. When it comes to the promises of God and the inheritance of the kingdom, then distinctions, such as Paul cites, have no relevance. You're baptized into Christ, your gender doesn't matter, your race doesn't matter, your economic status doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ. Same and same. Now, those differences used to have, those spiritual things used to have, significance. The promise of God was to the seed of Abraham through Isaac. That means to Jews. That is, the physical offspring of Abraham. And to the free ones, the ones born of Isaac. And then to the sons and not the daughters. Okay, so for the Jews, that is a specific thing, and it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. We, being baptized into Christ and putting on his whole thing, we become that. In him, we also fulfill that, whether it doesn't matter who we are. So Paul is saying that the promise of salvation and of becoming sons of God is for everyone, because Christ is the seed of Abraham and the Son of God, and anyone who is baptized into him becomes that by grace. National origin, social or economic status, and sex have no bearing on whether we belong to Christ or not, whether we are Abraham's offspring or not, whether we will inherit the promise of eternal life or not. When it comes to the promise of God, the inheritance of the kingdom, then distinctions such as Paul cites have no relevance. But when it comes to the law, the Jew has something superior to Greek laws, as Paul implies elsewhere. And when it comes to work and labor, the servant is the inferior to the master and must obey, as Paul says elsewhere. And when it comes to the family, the husband is the head of the household, as Paul says elsewhere. There's not a contradiction. When he's talking about there's neither male nor female, he's talking about in fulfilling of this promise that we all inherit. The other stuff is social, economic, that kind of thing. And the third point is, later in the reading it says we were slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe. And that's a really wild translation. That's really overdoing it. The actual Greek is ta stichia tou kosmou. Okay, that simply says the elements of the world. So the New King James, the Orthodox Study Bible, translates a little bit better, says we were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's all it says. And the elements of the world is understood as the elementary teachings of Judaism regarding observance of days and months and Sabbaths and new moons and other things that have to do with the world. So when Paul says, when we were children, we were slaves, he does not mean when we Christians are who are reading his letter today, because obviously we weren't even born yet. He is making the argument to the Gentile Galatians. So he's saying when we as Jews were spiritually immature, we were set under the law, and God gave us these rules to follow when it's a new moon and when it's a month and it's a Sabbath. He said we were subject to these elementary sort of rules, okay? He's basically saying when we Jews were immature spiritually, we were under these rules. Anyway, the summary for today's points is baptized into Christ really means in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the other one is anyone, male or female, who is so baptized becomes a son of God in Christ through faith, and therefore an heir of the kingdom and the promises.